You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast, where we cover the Indiana Pacers 5 days a week. As always, I want to host the show, Tony East, with the West Indianapolis Community News and over at 8.9 seconds. Today, kind of a lot to talk about, kind of not. The Pacers haven't played in a year, it feels like. Oh, terrible joke right there. They haven't played in 3 days now, 4 days now, since 2018. And it's getting tougher to churn out stuff with all these games to keep the content going. But thankfully, stuff did happen, and there's stuff I want to talk about for today. Tomorrow, we'll do a Bulls preview with Stefan Noh of The Athletic Chicago. Really good X's and O's dude, knows everything about the Bulls. So stay tuned for that to learn more about the Bulls and be prepared for that game. Today, though, I want to talk about Nate McMillan winning Eastern Conference Coach of the Month. I want to talk about Edmund Sumner having a really interesting decision on him coming over the team. And I'm going to do something embarrassing for myself. I'm going to go through the article I wrote about how good Aaron Holiday could be from August. And review my terrible opinions. And I'll drop some audio from Holiday that I got after the first game of the season. I talked to him when he banked in that three and stuff like that. Some exclusive audio. I was actually the only one talking to him then. So stay tuned for some Aaron Holiday stuff. I'm going to start with the McMillan stuff because that's A, the big news, and B, super cool. If you didn't see, for some national attention on the Pacers finally happening, some recognition for their excellent December, Nate McMillan named Conference Coach of the Month. It's simple on the surface to say they went 12-3. That doesn't even tell the story of how good the month was. The three losses were 1 point to the Cavs, 1 point to the Kings, and they were both on tip-ins at the buzzer, which is so frustrating. And a 3 point loss to the Raptors, so 5 points total on losses. And they had a 7-game and 5-game win streak ongoing, by the way, in that month, which is just insane. And he did it while balancing Victor Oladipo being in and out of the lineup. He did it while balancing Sabonis having food poisoning. He did it with the Bucks and the 76ers and the Raptors in his way. It was a great month. I know they lost the Raptors, but I think they played pretty well in that game. I've always been higher on McMillan than most. Not that I think he's, you can go back to summer and hear my actual thoughts on him, but people were calling for him to be fired at various times because he doesn't like 3-point shooting and things like that. I don't think he should be fired, but I wouldn't have extended him. There is a line in between there. But he had a very good month, and he is proving all the pros that I like about him at this time. The NBA's press release talked about all the stuff that was very impressive, which was defense this month. 15 opponents averaged 101.1 points per game, which is insane in this NBA. And they outscored opponents by 6.5 points a game. Both those numbers top in the entire NBA for the month, which is wild. 42% shooting for opponents, also very good. And they say this is the second time he won it. He won it in April 2017, if you'll remember, when he when they had the gosh, I can't talk right now. When they went, they had that really good closing run after they signed Lance to make the playoffs in April. That was pretty cool. But I think there's more to it. Nate was talking to Scott Agnes in the media scrum at practice today. He said he hasn't even thought about winning the award. He just thinks it's a team award. And I, you got everybody. Everybody's playing to the peak of their abilities right now. So maybe he's right that it is a team award, but at the same time, he's the one setting them up to be able to play to the peak of their abilities. So he deserves some credit for that. I'm impressed with his humility in that situation. That's quite the award. 99.6 defensive rating in the month with 109.7 offensive rating. That's crazy good. And this is a good time to talk about his strengths because I think it's so much easier to focus on negatives with coaching because... Well, maybe this isn't a because. This is just like a follow-up. But like when a player does something good, you want to credit the player for doing the good thing. But when something bad happens, you want to have the coach and the player be blamed because they're NBA players, right? Like their flaws can't just be on them. They're in the NBA. So McMillan gets some harp for some stuff. And there are a lot of things he does that I don't like. But he has a lot of good things. And there's a reason his defense is so good. The Pacers have been a good defensive team in all of his years. And I know the Dan Burke thing is true. Like he is... a great defensive coach, But there's something to McMillan's scheme. You know, he changed it up when Vogel left, and it's still they're still doing well. You see tons of player development on the defensive end of the floor when they come to Indiana, and he deserves some credit for that. Turner's really grown as a defender in his career. McDermott is even looking like an okay defender this year. Tyreke Evans maintaining being a quality defender here. Oladipo gets to All-NBA level. Bojan finds his strengths on the defensive end of the floor. Thad is not playing at an all-defense level. Like, I could go on and on. Corey Joseph, like, I just did the same exercise for, like, seven dudes. But he sets those dudes up to their defensive strengths with his scheme of, you know, keep everybody out of the middle unless there's a hedging big man right behind you. And just close out hard and give a lot of effort, and your defense will be good. And it works very well, and they don't let guys get around them easily. And look at that. They have one of the best defenses in the league, and honestly one of the best defenses in the decade if you really go through. Like, if you compare defensive ratings to league average, they have one of the better defenses of the entire decade since 2010, which is crazy. And then you got to give Nate credit for his rotations. He makes, you know, it's not a platoon necessarily, because they start the same dudes and kind of have similar, like, who comes off in what order on the bench. But once he starts mixing and matching, it's kind of platoony. You know, sometimes it's Thad in the bench. Sometimes it's Miles in the bench when he's playing with Sabonis. Sometimes it's Bogey in the bench when they go small. Sometimes they go big in the bench. And he's really good at reading the matchup and getting the right guy out there to help the team. And for all the shit he gets, sorry to swear, I just was stuck on the word there, for keeping his guys in too long, which he absolutely does. At the same time, when it's a close game, he does a very good job, I think, exception being the Kings game to start this month, this past month. He does a great job of having the right guys out there at the end of games. I personally think last year he was even better at that, I thought, but this year he's been good at that as well. And he just sets people up for success, and that's part of a good team. And, you know, player development coaches, he's more player like, he's a winning coach. He's also a player development coach. But I think he's better at player development than the winning. Like, he's not a championship coach, but he's still very good and perfect for the Pacers at their current state. And he's got these players playing well, and he's setting them up for success. And finally an award to prove that McMillan is good. So that's exciting for him. That's exciting for the team. I'm sure that'll be talked about on the broadcast against the Bulls tomorrow. So be on the lookout for some tidbits from what Nate has to say to JJ and the Fox Sports crew. But now, let's move on to me playing fake GM for 5 minutes. I got to talk about Edmund Sumner. I haven't talked about Edmund Sumner in a while, and there's something big coming up for him. So let's talk about Edmund Sumner. So this is kind of not a big of a deal as I just made it out to be, but it is a big deal because Edmund Sumner seems like he has a future in Indiana. His preseason proved that he's good. And then his regular season, he hasn't been so good. But it's not fair to say that he's regular season Sumner or preseason Sumner. He's probably a player in between, which is still an okay guy. And he's, like, what, 22? I should have that in front of me. But he's young, right? So he's clearly going to get better. Yes, he is 23. Excuse me. He's older than I thought. But he just turned 23 on December 31st. How did I miss that? He also just completely dropped a dude in the G League tonight. I quote tweeted the video. Go check it out. It was insane. But his two-way contract is the subject of the decision to be made by the Pacers. So here's what it is. On December 30th, I'm sorry. Man, I'm fixated. I was reading his birthday and I said December. On January 15th, two-way contract, that's the last day that two-way contracts can be signed by NBA teams. So there's only like three or four teams that have an open spot for one of those right now. The Pacers aren't one of them. But if they want Edmund Sumner to be on the NBA roster this year, they can convert him anytime. That's fine. Well, up to March 1st. If they do it after March 1st, he can't be on the playoff roster, I don't think. But anyway, they have to convert him to have that spot. So if they have that in their plans to have Sumner get the last roster spot because they have an open spot right now, they have to do it before, or they really should do it before that January 15th two-way contract deadline, because if not, then they just lose that two-way slot and then they're stuck with just Devon Reed on a two-way. And two-ways aren't like super important necessarily. It's just like extra depth players and development and keeping guys in the organization. Like, I really like Devon Reed and everybody likes Edmund Sumner, but losing that spot's not it's bad because you're losing out on the chance to sign an asset, but it's not like the end of the world because you're not whatever, you get what I'm saying, but it would be stupid if your plan is to have Sumner on the roster to not do it before that date, right? And that, I don't know what the Pacers' plan is. I don't think anybody really does. But given that this is a realistic option, probably one of the three that they have with that roster spot is promote Edmund Sumner, then, yeah, they have to do it in the next, what is it, the third now, 12 days. So that is something to monitor going forward, is are they going to promote Edmund Sumner to the full-time roster? He's only played 28 minutes with the pros this year, and that's not great. That's not very many. And he's playing a ton with the G League, and he's doing really well in the G League, actually. So full credit to him there for doing well. But the other thing that is a challenge here is Holiday has just come on the scene, and now he's good. And I know I talked about the Sumner stuff a little bit earlier in the month, but it's worth monitoring this situation for him, because if it doesn't happen by the 15th, you'll know he's on the 2A the rest of the year. He's still restricted. And I think we have to have a dialogue about Sumner, because, you know, what's next for him? Because they can't just throw him in as the third guard next year at all, but they probably want to keep him. So they have to figure out what that balance is going to be of, like, what his role might be. Could it be the Holiday role this year, next year? That would be cool, because he would fit in well in that spot. That would give him the spot minutes he needs to both develop but not just be thrown into the rigmarole. But at the same time, you know, we saw in preseason how promising he could really be, so maybe they're wasting time by not promoting him earlier than that. I don't really know. But anyway, there's the key date coming up for him is worth monitoring. And I know I talked a little bit about this earlier with the 10-day stuff and the buyouts and stuff, but I wanted to zoom in on Sumner this time, because we haven't talked about Sumner in a million years. Like, his preseason was amazing. And then, if you recall, when they waived Ben Moore, that's why they have the roster spot, like, early November, which turns out, now that we look back, that was completely just agent favor. Like, let's get Ben Moore on free agency earlier. You know, I thought at that time when they waived Moore, I'm sorry, I just stumbled over my words there, that they were going to promote Sumner right then and there. And that was that. And then they would sign another two-way guy. And then a little time went by, and it figured out what was going on with Wilcox, and they got Reed, and then nothing happened with Sumner, and then Ben Moore signed somewhere else, and now this just kind of got lost, and by fans, not by the team, obviously, they know what they're doing, but it's time for them to make that decision, and I think a lot of people like Sumner and would like him on the roster. Guard depth is never bad. You could move Tyree to the three if you want to give Sumner some spot minutes, but that decision's sneaking up. And we'll know soon what the deal is. And I think it'll be telling. I actually think this will be telling, because if they sign a 10-day contract after January 5th, they'd have to waive that dude to promote Sumner. And I think it's bad optics to waive a 10-day guy just because you only have him for 10 days. Like, come on, give this dude 10 days in the NBA. And most teams don't do that unless they have, like, a bomb move coming up. So if they sign a 10-day guy June 6th or later, then that means that's it. Sumner's on the 2A the rest of the year because they wouldn't waive the guy before January 15th. And if they don't promote Sumner by the 15th, then it's likely that their plans are wait on the buyout market. So we actually will learn quite a bit about their team-building plans over the next 12 days. So just keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on Sumner. He's killing it in the G League. His stats are insane. I wish I had them in front of me. But yeah, that's my Sumner rant. And I will stop doing that because I think I gave a lot of this earlier in the week, but I promise the next segment's more fun. It's Aaron Holiday, the more promising of those two at the guard spots. Now, let's talk about Aaron Holiday. Let's talk about what a big idiot I am. So take a quick pause and then do Aaron Holiday stuff. So I was lucky enough to talk to Aaron Holiday after the first game he played of the regular season, not the preseason, against Memphis, when he, you know, actually did pretty good stuff for the last 5 minutes of that game. He banked in at three, and we got to see the first glimpses of Aaron Holiday, and I don't actually know if I've ever dropped this audio in the show before, but I chatted with him after that game, and here's what Holiday had to say after his first NBA game to me. So listen up, and then I'll talk about why I dropped this in there.
How'd the debut go? Do you feel? Oh. Banking in the first three? Did you call it?
No, I didn't. it was my first shot, so that's my excuse for banking it in. But
I'm glad you called it excuse, not me, right?
Yeah, I don't exactly. Have to.
Feel like everything else went well?
Yeah, I mean, we played well. That's all I could really ask for. I got out there in a little bit of time and tried to play hard. I felt like we, even though we played little minutes, we still did what we had to do, I guess. We executed pretty well, so that's all that really matters to me.
Do you feel like your role is kind of cemented as it is right now, or do you feel like you have an opportunity to earn minutes if you play well in these short spurts like this?
I don't know. I feel like in the league, a lot of stuff happens, changes happen, but I can't really control that, so I'm just here to play basketball. That's all I could really focus on.
Did you enjoy playing against your brother?
Oh, yeah, that was fun. It was weird looking across, seeing your brother, but it was for sure fun.
It was weird. You grew up doing it, and now it's
exactly
a different thing.
NBA teams in different cities, so it's crazy.
You'll see him four times this year.
Exactly. That's a great thing.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem.
So why am I doing this now? Because right then, in that moment, I should have known that I was going to be wrong about this dude. I love guys who, in interviews like that, this guy just made his NBA debut, and he talks about the team playing well in the third unit, really, because he was in with the third unit guys, executing well, and he had got through the jitters and like big boy talk stuff, not like anything other than team oriented, confident execution, like stuff that the buzzwords that you should check for with rookies that are good. And Holiday hit all of them in that 1 minute talk. So I should have known that I was wrong, and I was going through old audio files today to think about stuff to talk about, and when I heard that, I was like, dang, I gotta revisit what I wrote about Holiday that is going to make me look stupid all possibly career long for him. So let's do it. I pulled it up. I posted it on, I think, August 20th. It just says 4 months ago. Yes, August 20th. Good. I put, how good could Aaron Holiday be for the Pacers? I talked about, the early section is about his shooting. I went through skill. So I basically said, the Pacers have a good player development staff. Holiday showed some good stuff in college, but a lot of the draft is like fit and luck. I mean, I'm sure he'll fit fine, but luck you can't quantify. So let's just look at his skills. Like, does he have the skills that the Pacers can develop? And the first thing I talked about is his shooting, which he was a really good three-point shooter in college. His free throw shooting was a little suspect, so I said, okay, he'll probably be a pretty good shooter eventually, but maybe not elite as it projects with his three-point shooting just because of that free throw shooting. Feeling pretty good about that one. I don't think he'll be a 25.5% three-point shooter when he's actually a big man's guy, but I don't think he's ever going to be as elite as projected just because of that free throw shooting blended in, although he is stroking his free throws in the NBA, 86.4%, so maybe that will be stupid, but I think he'll probably peak out because a lot of his threes are not catch and shoots. I bet he peaks out in the 38 to 40 range from there. But then I started saying stuff that I thought was the case from me watching most of his games at UCLA and his summer league. And I just started to say stupid things. I talked about his passing, which I thought was okay. Playmaking is what it is. And you can't really... It's hard to quantify playmaking, but you can try your best. And I said, he's an okay passer. His vision is mostly focused on his really good speed, which I wrote about his ball handling. I'll talk about that in a second. And his shooting, not so much his passing. And then I put a clip of his passing. And then I said, but the flip side to the fact that I don't think he's going to be a great playmaker or passer is because he's a turnover machine. But there's a flip side to that. He's a turnover machine. I'm feeling good about the turnover machine part too. he's turning it over on about 12% of his possessions. Not a ton actually, but yeah, I'm wrong about his passing. He is a great passer. Aaron Holiday is a playmaker. He rejects screens, goes the other way around him, dishes it to the guy in the corner. His assist percentage is really good, 18.6%, which is solid for a guy who actually shoots quite a bit. His assist-to-turnover ratio is pretty solid. It's over 2, which is exactly what you want, especially from rookie point guards who are going to be turnover guys, and that allows him to be effective as a playmaker. You can still clean up a few things with it. We like his aggression as a rookie. That's a good sign, and that is good going forward. But at the same time, he does some rookie bonehead stuff because of that. When I talked about his dribbling, I also included the turnover stuff in there, so I'll throw that. I was pretty high on his dribbling, actually. Here's the exact quote. Holiday's ball handling is encouraging, though. Successful dribbling is harder to quantify. You just have to see it. And he's quick and shifty with the rock in his hands. He can weave his way through just about any team that tries to guard him in college. And he did so in summer league as well. And then I put a video of it. I still believe in his ball handling. It's easy to see. He's smooth. He's quick. He can create stuff for other guys with his dribbling. So feeling good about that one. And then I dumped on his defense, and oh boy, that's going to be wrong. I don't necessarily think his defense has been some like, wow, this guy's clearly going to be good. But he's a smart defender. And back to what I said about McMillan, they're developing him as a good defender. And I did not think that was going to be there. He had a negative defensive box plus minus in college. Can you believe that? And yet he made all defense Pac-12. Like, it's wrong. he just played big minutes and got a lot of steals. That's why he made that team. But he's actually been a good NBA defender. So I basically said he is a physical limitation. He's shorter than me was the exact quote for all of you that remember. But I said it's going to be really hard to get over that. And because he has these physical limitations, you know, he'll be hindered. I put a big clip of him getting destroyed by some screens and not being able to contest. Yeah, that's probably wrong. His quickness lets him jump passing lanes more than I guessed. He's long, so he can, you know, he can reach in on poor dribbling, which I wrote that he wouldn't be great at that. I wrote that his closeouts would be challenging. His length is better, is good enough there to help him. So yeah, so far, I'm taking a victory lap on not being as good of a shooter as everybody projected. And then I've been wrong about literally everything else in some capacity. So not looking super hot for me on the Aaron Holiday predictions, which is kind of embarrassing. But you know what? I have to just admit I'm wrong, right? Like, this dude's clearly going to be better than what you would expect from the 23rd pick. And all I can do is be hopeful and excited for him now. Like, I being wrong is part of this job of watching basketball and trying to analyze it, because apparently I'm not that great at it with the draft stuff. I was just at Butler. This is just random draft stuff. I was just at Butler Gonzaga. And some dude I've never heard of named Greg Malinowski on Gonzaga. He is a transfer from William & Mary. Had 26 points, and I'd never heard of him. And his stats, I checked after the game, are very underwhelming. And he just had, like, the game of his life. So my one scouting experience this year for non-IU basketball is that Greg Malinowski would be a great pro because he tore Butler apart. Yeah, I was completely wrong on Holiday. The earlier returns at least suggest that I'm going to be wrong about him. Yeah, he's keeping down the turnovers. He's playing all right defense. His passing has been fine, and he can dribble the ball. So, yeah, he's going to be effective, and eventually he's going to replace some of the vets in the Pacers rotation and do a great job. So congrats to Aaron Holiday for making me look stupid. Just add him to the list of players that I've been wrong about. but, yeah, now that I'm done dumping on myself, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of Locked On Pacers. Be ready for tomorrow's with Stefan Noe. He's a really smart dude. You'll learn a lot about the Bulls and all their turmoil, their not goodness going on with Jim Boylan, old Pacers assistant and head coach. So stay tuned for that. Thank you guys so much for listening, and have a great rest of your day.